The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So there's a priest by the name of Father Gregory Pyne who came across, found out about the listening to a Catholic app called Pints with Aquinas. It's kind of a Catholic talk show app, and this Father Gregory Pyne is a Dominican who does some teaching on it, and came across another one of his teachings, but he had something that was very striking but also true that has remained with me but also seems appropriate this morning. He said that the Christian life is really a four-step process. It's to show up, it's to show up, it's to show up, and then die. What's he getting at? Then our role in everything, but particularly in thinking about God and our faith is a response. God's always taking the initiative, and our role is to show up, to respond, and to keep showing up and to persevere in that. And I might add, to show up with a humble, contrite heart. And Father Pyne might say, well, that too is a gift from the Lord, and we just have to receive it and show up with it. But true enough, but to show up. Our reading, especially our first reading and our psalm, but also our second reading, talk about covenant. Kind of a very churchy word. We use it a lot in our faith. And a covenant is a kind of contract, but not just a contract. It's more than a contract. We might say a contract is an agreement between persons about an exchange of goods or services. But a covenant, especially when we're thinking about the scriptures and our faith, you might say it's an exchange of persons. And most of the time we hear about covenants in scripture, it's between God and a person or God and persons. And think about God, and God's always taking the initiative there. He's giving a covenant, offering a covenant. I'm going to give you myself, all of those blessings, all the promises, all the life that comes with that. And he invites us to respond in the same way with that gift of ourselves. We hear about Noah and the covenant he made with him. One thing we see throughout the whole Old Testament and all of the covenants is our inability on our part to be faithful to them. And what we have now is the new and eternal covenant. It's the covenant with Jesus. Jesus does something that all of those were preparing for, and it's the new and eternal one, as I'll pray in a few minutes over the precious blood, Jesus' words that change that wine, I should say, the wine into his precious blood. And in Jesus, we find the one who's able to perfectly fulfill that covenant because he's God, but also he's man. And so he is faithful in a way that we aren't able to be because of the first fall. And more than that, in his covenant, he brings all of us into it. It becomes our covenant. So Jesus says, repent and believe, the words we hear every Lent. That change of mind that leads to a change of heart, part of that repentance and belief is in this area, though. God invites us to come to see that he is a good God and he's a faithful God. And at the same time, to recognize, God, you're faithful, but at times I am unfaithful. And God, you are good and you are always good, but sometimes I am not good. There's a lack of goodness at my time at times. And as well then, God, you are merciful and powerful to save, and you always take the initiative and you bring a new and joyful and abundant life that comes from receiving that mercy. And on my part, it's in that repenting and believing, to show up, huh? With that humble, contrite heart. That's what helps us, allows us to enter in to this covenant, right? This is the reality. That's why we're made, huh? For this intimate relationship with God. And of course, others, one another. But Jesus perfects that, and then he allows us to share in it, even though we're not always faithful, huh? And we're not always good. That's certainly what's meant to take place and does take place at the Mass, and that's kind of what's our active participation, showing up with a humble, contrite heart, knowing that that always leads to us sharing in that covenant. Your salvation is God's work. It's God's work in you. And we're meant to have a confidence. This is part of that repent and believe, confidence in God that he will complete that good work in you as long as we keep showing up. Your life is precious to the Lord. He wouldn't have created you except that you could glorify him and for your own salvation and your own happiness. Did you ever think about the fact that each of us is made, you by name are made to manifest something wonderful and excellent in God and in his interior life and who he is in himself. It's part of what we are in his image, to manifest that and surely to bear that out, to make that known to others and to do it all the way to heaven. So, right, sin has become part of our story since our first parents' fall, since Adam and Eve. And you know, sometimes we regret this, even our own sins as part of that, or the sins of others, meaning we kind of just wish it wasn't so. Wish it wasn't so. But contrition, and certainly as we continue our lives in Jesus and are invited as part of this repentance, seeing things differently as they truly are, but interpreting our lives through Jesus, we can and we should. We're meant to gain a greater and greater appreciation and gratitude for the way things are. That it is so, and it is such as it is. Meaning that it's even to see sometimes that it's because of those areas where there are our greatest betrayals and our greatest denials and our greatest failures, or those of others, that the Lord makes something awesome and glorious of our lives. And it's precisely in those areas where there's weakness and there's woundedness and there's sin that God brings a greater glory. And it's through that that our own conversion is deepened, and certainly the others come to see that and experience that as well. And the sacrament of confession plays a huge role in this transformation. Huge. Because as among other things, when we just show up, yes, with a humble, contrite heart, but we just show up, God is giving us the eyes to see and the heart to love that work of God, which is at work in you. Which is full of life and mercy and glorious. Huh? Again, in the sacrament of confession, going to it throughout our lives, it's meant to continue to accompany us, to help us in that great work. Right? One of the images, or one of the people that comes to mind in this area, this reality of what is this new life that God gives us in Jesus, is the Saint Josephine Baquita. We just celebrated her memorial a few days ago earlier in the month, and you may have heard about her. She's a new saint, and I think she's the first saint from the Sudan, but she grew up in the Sudan, and she lived in the 20th century, end of the 19th century, into the 20th century. And when she was a young girl, she was kidnapped and enslaved. And that slavery for many years was very horrific in many ways, as I'm sure you can imagine. I won't go into all the details here, but again, it was so horrific that she forgot her given name. But eventually she was freed from that slavery and even came to know Jesus. And she, at the end of her life, for the last many years of her life, she became a religious sister. And it was sometime during that time that someone asked her, again, she was known as a very joyful woman, but she said, someone asked her sister Josephine, what would you do if you, you know, met the person that enslaved you? And she said, I would thank them. I would thank them because they were part of the way that I came to know Jesus and his life and his goodness. And that's meant to be true for all of us. And not just in the areas where others have harmed us, but even with our own sins. Go to confession. Confession is a huge part of this. So go to confession. I just want to say a couple of things just to help us in that. One, how often should we go? Well, the church says we need to go at least once a year, especially to confess our mortal sins. But go more than that. That's like a minimum. But I'd say try to strive to go once a month. Probably a lot more than some of us do. So work towards that. Why? Because it's a sacrament of healing and mercy. Because it comes to help us to know ourselves and to know God and his goodness. And without that knowledge, we can't grow in love. Of course, it forgives our sins. It helps us to grow in this seeing God as he truly is. And it even strengthens us to resist temptation to grow in virtue and love. All of these great things. I know sometimes people will ask or say, and even among ourselves, you know, why should we go to confession? I just go to the Lord. I confess my sins and ask forgiveness directly to the Lord. And yes, absolutely we do that, but it's a both and, partly because, well, Jesus, the Lord, gave us this sacrament. So he wants us to go to it. But also we see the wisdom. Part of the wisdom is the reality of, as we go to confession, as we speak aloud our sins, it helps us to overcome self-deception, but also it expresses the reality that all of our sins not only damage our relationship with God, but with one another. And both are taking place in the sacrament. So there are three parts to the sacrament for the penitent. You might say there's one part for the priest, which is to absolve, but there's the confession, there's the contrition, and there's the satisfaction or the penance. So the confession, of course, is acknowledging one's sins. And so, you know, always do an examination of conscience. I even put some in the pews today. You can take it with you. This is one that the Knights of Columbus developed a few years ago, not just ours, but the group as a general. But there's lots of good acts of contrition out there, whether it's as this one, focusing on thinking about the areas of our lives through the Ten Commandments and the precepts of the church, or again, there's many online, there's even apps that can help us, but spend a few minutes, 10 or 15, bringing your life before the Lord in the light of his commandments, which always help us to form, right? That's part of that repent and believe. It's been a long time, years and years. Sometimes it can be helpful to spend a little bit more. Maybe I recommend taking a few minutes over the course of a few days. And then we go and we just confess our sins. We're supposed to confess all of our mortal or grave sins, any serious sin, to name the sin, and as best as we can remember how many times since our last confession. I don't have to go into details. Don't need names. Oh, this, I did this against my spouse, or it was my sister, or no, don't even need to know that. Just what was it? You want to be specific, meaning, I didn't love my neighbor. Okay, fair enough. How? Did you steal from them? Did you gossip? Did you hurt them physically? What was it? Or against the Lord? So as best we can. And it's to, as well, not be afraid. Sometimes people are like, well, what if I don't remember them all? Well, we want to spend a few minutes preparing, but it's also to be at peace, to just show up. And one of the graces of the sacrament is that when we make a good confession, all of our sins are forgiven, even the ones we've forgotten or didn't know were sin. And so it's to say, okay, I do want to make a good confession. What does that mean? Meaning in the sacrament itself, I don't want to knowingly withhold to not name a grave sin that I'm aware of out of whatever fear or shame or pride or hardness of heart. That's the one thing, right? So it's to show up with a humble, contrite heart. If we withhold knowingly and intentionally a serious sin, then we go away without our sins are forgiven. I don't know, some of you may remember the Baltimore Catechism. That was a little before my time, though I've seen it and seen different pages. But if you're familiar with that, it had a lot of little pictures, at least the copies I've seen. And I guess for confession, there was a picture of someone coming in with three burdens, right? Because our sins are a burden, and God wants to take away that burden. And then placing the burdens, and as it explained this reality of, okay, we want to make a good confession. You say, well, I placed two out of the three burdens. I confessed two. I placed two out of the three. I gave two out of the three with Jesus, so I just went away with one, right? You say, well, actually, if we knowingly withhold, instead of going away with just that one, we go away with all the ones, and an extra one. Yikes. So it's to focus on Jesus, to not be afraid. He already knows. He wants to take away our sins. And so that leads to that contrition, right? That repentance, which isn't just regret. It's not just saying, I wish it didn't happen, but it's recognizing this reality that, right, I can't confront my sins on my own. I can't heal myself, but also that God's promises are true for me. His promises that he will bring good out of our brokenness, and he'll bring life where there's death, and not just a restoration to life, but a new and glorious life, and that all of his promises are true for me as you go to confession. That the life he has prepared for you is beyond all expectation and greater than anything we could ask for or imagine. That's so true. And so that's part of contrition. We need to have that intention of, yes, I'm sorry for my sin, but I'm not taking it away on my own. And indeed, I see Jesus, you're bringing good. And so it's not that we, as Paul said, should we sin more? No, of course not. And one of the graces is all we need is even to want to change. Because there are areas of our life where maybe there's still that attachment to sin. It's not perfect contrition. It's like, well, I kind of want to change, but if I'm honest, I don't fully. And that's one of the graces of the sacrament. But this contrition is being able to come to the Lord with this confidence, a sorrow, but not just a regret. A confidence in what he's doing and his power to bring good. And so finally, there's satisfaction. Huh? Confession, contrition, and satisfaction. And satisfaction is the penance. It's kind of helping to clean up the mess. We talk about the punishment, right? Those are the effects of the sin. And so we're being able, out of God's love and mercy, to help do that because of our contrition. And certainly it helps with our own healing. Certainly the sin wounds us and others more. That's the biggest bad effect. But it also helps us grow in love and virtue. And so that's what is kind of still there even after the absolution. And so the penance is that gift of being able to do that. You know, one example is where there are habitual sin in our lives. We can see even more and more through science that it, kind of our actions blaze kind of pathways, neural pathways through our brains, and that's true with areas of sin just as it is areas of goodness, and those don't suddenly change through confession. I mean, God could do that miraculously, but that's not his normal way of working in the sacrament. And so it's satisfaction, repentance is helping us grow, you might say, in virtue and love, as well as helping in that gift of being able to share in that healing process. And so, again, it's to know if the priest gives you something that you don't understand or you don't think you can do, speak up. You know? I usually try and, after I give the penance, say, can you do that? Because sometimes someone might say, well, I don't know what that is. Whether it's a prayer or something else. Or sometimes, I don't know if I can do that. I had someone come once and say, Father, my last confession, the priest gave me a penance and they didn't put like a time limit on it. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do it for the rest of my life. If that happens, again, it, you know, in the moment you could get clarity on that. But if the priest said, well, I want you to fast twice a week for the rest of your life, you might say, Father, I don't know if I can do that. That's too hard. So speak up. But also, even if it's after the fact, you know, you get your next confession, you can tell the priest and he can do what's called commute that penance. You know, I forgot my penance, or I didn't do my penance, or this penance was too hard. Okay, you will hopefully then commute it. Okay, you don't have to do that anymore. There's a new penance that covers all of it. It's all a gift. It's this great gift of being able to receive his mercy, to show up, to continue to keep showing up. And so whether it's in the sacrament of confession, whether it's in our daily prayers, surely with the Mass, we just continue to approach with dignity, with desire, with frequency.